Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us as once again we face the issues. It's always our delight to have you join in the dialogue and discussion also. So let me remind you early on that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. During the course of this broadcast today, we welcome your joining in the dialogue and the discussion by dialing that telephone number. You can ask your question. You can jump in. And as some of you use the term, put in your 2 cents worth. We'd love to have you. The program is designed around a Q&A format. We'd love to have you ask the questions. We join in your dialogue and discussion and respond to them. And ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. But before we get into the monologue, the dialogue, and the discussion, I think it would be fitting that I remind you that especially as Christians, we need to be praying for all of the families in the Nashville, Tennessee metropolitan area. Some horrific tornadoes went through early morning. I believe it was about 12:39 a.m. and following. Early morning, ripped through, as I understand, the early morning news and some follow-up news a moment ago, that the tornadoes touched down, bounced around for some, perhaps as long as much as 65 miles in its swath. And I believe the latest death toll is 19 as of just a few minutes ago, with millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of damage in the homes and businesses. Some are still missing that they're searching for. Others, I'm sure, will be found later. But I think it's fitting that we invite you to pray for those families and for those loved ones and for those right now that are going through major trauma as a result of that. And let me just simply say also, ladies and gentlemen, with that statement, we need to recognize the hand of God. I believe God's hand's at work. It's not just El Nino. It's not just climate change. It's not global warming that's causing these events. As we see the hurricanes, earthquakes, major locust swarms in differing parts of the world, and as we see the major tornadic activities, I really believe that we're watching the hand of God saying, look up, look at me, recognize that I'm sovereign, that I'm in control, and that we need to turn back to God as a nation. And I think some of the things we're going to talk about is an evident token of where we are in the continuing secularization of our nation and the need to turn back to God. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me urge you to be in prayer for those families in the Tennessee area, Nashville, Tennessee area. It literally, the major cloud, the major weather is coming all the way across Central America and going east, west to east. Another major weather front is coming through that will perhaps not be as horrific, but is also going to be major damaging potentiality. So pray for those in the path of the storm. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on Scripture. It's not a matter of philosophical rhetoric. It's not based on denominational dogma. Our discussion about issues is not based on the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations of the various denominations. We do not try to depend on what the secular world says, but what the Word of God says. There's a vast, vast difference, ladies and gentlemen, and it is based on the truth of the Word of God. It was Jesus that said, if you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That was his statement to his disciples in John 8:31-32. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. I am truth. We find truth is an elusive word today, an elusive thing today. Trey Gowdy left the U.S. House of Representatives, and after not running again and going back into the professional world in South Carolina, when Trey Gowdy was interviewed on national television, he said that when he was first elected and went to Washington, he thought that the whole game plan, the whole goal, the whole purpose was to seek truth. And he said, and I believe he was talking to Martha McCallum, and he said, I don't find any truth sought after in Washington. He said, that's the least of the interest of those in Washington. He said, truth is simply not sought after in the political arena. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what Jesus is saying. I am truth. And then he says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Speaking of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And so when we talk about truth, we need to talk about it as being biblical, looking at the scripture. And that's very, very vital in the society in which we're living today, where everybody has his own set of facts. Everybody claims to have their own truth. And you can believe what you want to believe, but you cannot change the facts according to the word of God. In fact, truth is something that is so needful and yet is elusive. Ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell a number of years ago that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that taking place today, perhaps as no other time in history. I have enjoyed quoting and stating what truth is and what we need to do. Based on a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth even to death. So may I commend that to our listeners today, each of you. It is truth that we should be interested in. It is truth that we should seek individually and personally. It is truth that should be preached and taught and communicated from our pulpits. It is truth that every denomination ought to stand on, not philosophical rhetoric, not based on what a committee determines is right, not the argument as to, I wonder what we need to do as a denomination, but simply going back to the truth of the Word of God and see what God's Word says and then build the theological doctrinal premise on the truth of the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power dealership equipment company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of equipment for the professional landscaper as well as the homeowner for the grounds and the yards. They carry the brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries hurricane preparedness equipment. They have a full line of Honda generators and also have a knowledgeable staff, a knowledgeable team to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment as well as the landscape equipment for professionals and for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, where is that located? That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic flag, Old Glory, flies, some 165-foot flagpole there with a gigantic flag. The base of that flag, base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I am going to be doing the whole program today, for the most part, as a takeoff from the analysis of an article in Wall Street Journal. Wall Street Journal, the title of the article says, thank God, American churches are dying. Thank God, American churches are dying. So may I use the premise, ladies and gentlemen, for this broadcast today, let's face the issues. I'll just simply say, American churches are dying, question mark. Is that true or false? What do we need to think when we read an article like that? And I'll be looking at the article bit by bit and piece by piece and not necessarily debating each aspect of it, but talking with you about it, not necessarily commending the article because it's written, I believe, from a biased perspective, less than a spiritual perspective. But ladies and gentlemen, recently the Wall Street Journal published that article. Thank God American churches are dying. It's kind of shocking as far as the title is concerned. And perhaps you have seen that. And I've said for years and years and years, and this is the first time I've seen someone put it in print exactly like that. But thousands of churches are closing across America every year. In fact, thousands and thousands of pastors are leaving ministry every year. And we must ask the question, why? What is the cause of that? What's it relative to? What does it relate to? It's kind of a shocking article. But the question is it true? If it is true, the question must be, why? Let me just give you two or three little blurbs, a little, how would you say, summaries of this particular article. He's talking about the fact that all mainline denominations are dying, Methodist, Baptist, Episcopal, Catholic, et cetera, et cetera. He lists several, not all of them. But he says that all mainline denominations are dying. Now, ponder that for a moment. What if that article was saying all chain food stores, all fast food stores are closing? Some of them are, some of them are not. There's a premise behind that statement, ladies and gentlemen. This writer goes further, so according to this article, he said thousands of churches are going downward. That was his term, going downward. And multitudes of them, thousands of them, are closing. He says growth is stagnant. Yet the writer in the article says that as thousands of churches close across America, lively new congregations are taking their place. Lively. I want you to notice the word lively new congregations are taking the place. Ladies and gentlemen, back many, many years ago when Bill Hybel started the Willow Creek Ministries in Barrington, Illinois, Rick Hybels sent out about 30,000, Bill Hybels that is, sent out about 30,000 questionnaires to the entire surrounding metropolitan area. Wanted to, what kind of music do you want to hear? What kind of preaching are you interested in? What are you looking for as the time frame for the message, etc. Out of that 30,000 survey community cards that was sent out, about 10%, 3,000 came back in. And the respondents said, we're not interested in a slaughterhouse religion. We're not interested in anything more than a 15-minute message. We're not interested in the stodgy, stale, old gospel singing. We want something that's lively. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what they built. And some 20 plus years into that, and that's been about 10 years ago now, Bill Hybels wrote a book, basically said we were wrong. We were wrong. They recognized that they'd built the whole ministry on numbers, nickels, and noses. My terms, not theirs. Multitudes, they're building ministries based on the absolute numbers program. And we'll talk about that further in this broadcast today. We're talking about the question of American churches dying. So the question is, are the churches dying? Are American churches truly dying? Ladies and gentlemen, it appears that the focus is on religion and not a relationship to Jesus Christ. Religion is not Christianity. Religion does not connote a relationship to Jesus Christ. Religion does not require being blood-bought, Bible say, born again. The modern approach to ministry today and to church today and to church growth today is focused on entertainment. Entertainment. I recently stated from the pulpit, because we're preaching through the book of the Revelation, and we're touching on reviewing the seven churches of Asia Minor, the seven churches in the book of the Revelation. And I made mention of the fact that many churches today have bought into the idea that no longer do we need to be on our knees and pray for a heaven-sent revival, that we can work up a revival by man-made philosophies, programs, methodology, and modality for it to be carried out. And that was very evident a number of years ago when the then-retired head of the Coca-Cola bottling company that was responsible for their program of advertising and promotion after retirement, he assumed would have counted himself as a Christian. He was traveling nationally, teaching churches how to have revival. And one of his statements, it was so astounding to me a number of years ago when I read it, he said, no longer will we as Christians be required to spend hours and days on our knees pleading with God to send revival. We have the ability with the modern technology and with advertising to work up a revival rather than waiting for it to be heaven sent, brought down from God, that we can work up and bring about revival. And that today, ladies and gentlemen, is the focus of what I want us to understand about this article that's titled, Wall Street Journal, titled, Thank God American Churches Are Dying. Ladies and gentlemen, entertainment is not biblical preaching. Entertainment is not preaching and teaching the Word of God. Entertainment does not elicit or expect from the congregation, from the members, a learning of the Word, an application of the Word, a dependence upon the Word, a memorization of the Word, the recognition of Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're seeing today, ladies and gentlemen, what I've started calling pop-up churches. Pop-up churches are pretty prevalent today, not only in America, but across the globe. Those churches that are popping up with different philosophies and different feelings and different thoughts. We have today, for example, and I'm not going to try to get into any particular one of these denominational people or denominational, non-denominational names. You have, for example, Elevate Church, Celebrate Church, 1122 Church, Access.com Church, Destiny Church, Journey Church, Faith Bridge, Mission Way, Oasis Church, River Church, Vision Church, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that list could go on for literally several minutes and not be exhaustive with the new names that we're finding out there. Ladies and gentlemen, I've used the illustration many, many times that as I travel across America and I'm looking for something quick to eat, I see the Golden Arches. I know what's behind those arches. I know what to expect as far as quality and price. If I see the Burger King image, I know what's behind the doors, quality and price. If I see the Wendy's emblem, I know what's behind the door, quality and price. But these pop-up churches today with these unusual modern terms and names, you don't know what to expect. You don't know whether it's theologically sound, doctrinally sound, biblically pure or not. And that's what's taking place today. That's what this writer, as I elicit from this article, again, the title is Thank God American Churches Are Dying. The writer of that article is focusing on and pointing to the feasibility and the acceptability of these modern churches that focus on entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, these pop-up churches, the entertainment churches. In fact, I shared from the pulpit recently of a church that's in the Jacksonville area that they have some entertainment just about every Sunday. On one occasion, just a few months back, they had a, quote, Christian wrestler that was on the platform, and he and his buddy did a wrestling, how would you say, show on the platform of the church, and everybody's just all eagerly watching, participating, applauding, and left feeling, what a wonderful time we've had at worship today. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not worship, that's entertainment. Ladies and gentlemen, that has nothing to do with the Word of God. That's the secularization of not just the nation, but it's the secularization of the church. It's bringing the culture and the operation of the world into the church. And if I can just briefly tuck this in as a little footnote, this is the reason every one of our denominations today, ladies and gentlemen, across every denominational line, this is the reason everyone, without exception, today in some fashion, greater or lesser, have accepted and embraced the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle. They've accepted and embraced, in some form, abortion. Multitudes of them have accepted and embraced marijuana and other forms of drugs as being acceptable. And so we're watching that world come into the church rather than the church going into the world and evangelizing the world. We're watching the world come into the church, and the church's philosophy is, we need to embrace everybody with every lifestyle, regardless of whether it is antithetical to Scripture or not, in order to have the numbers, nickels, and noses. In other words, fill the parking lot, fill the pews, fill the offering plate, and if that's done, then everything's okay. It must be pleasing to God because we're growing. And ladies and gentlemen, that's simply Not the case. Many of these, in fact, most of these in that category, most of these are serving up cotton candy theology. Cotton candy theology looks good and it tastes good, but it's not filling. They're serving up a whole helping of goosebump theology. It makes you feel good, but it's not satisfying, doctrinally speaking. Then there's the kitchen theology, where everybody makes his own decision, makes the decision, this is what I believe, this is what I believe the Bible says, this is what I think God wants me to do, this is what I think is pleasing to God. It is the kitchen theology, where everyone's doing that which is right in his own eyes. I've just simply lumped them all together, ladies and gentlemen. I simply call all of this voodoo theology because it's made up of scripture and not scripture. And there's a major difference. The Wall Street Journal article stated, and I quote, "One reason for the success of the new evangelical churches is their aggressive pursuit of growth, which they call church multiplication." Now, that's a direct quote from the article. Notice now what I'm saying. This article reads, "One reason for the success of the new evangelical congregations is their aggressive pursuit of growth, which they call church multiplication." And she goes on in the article, I'm talking about the multiple church campuses, as I call them, the pop-up churches where they have the multiple church campuses. Ladies and gentlemen, the new approach to, quote, ministry today and having churches is that you have one pastor, and he's preaching at the main campus, as they call it, and several other campus churches, satellite churches, where they can sit down and pull the gigantic screen down by way of internet, watch their pastor preach without having the benefit of a pastor there. And everybody sits around the little bistro table sipping on something, and then they will, at the conclusion of the preaching, the catalyst, the leader around that table will ask, "What did you think about it? What did the pastor say? How did it make you feel?" et cetera, et cetera. And everybody will leave elated, thinking, "Man, I've really worshiped today." Ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you a blurb or two further from this article. "As thousands of churches close across the U.S., many fret about the inevitable decline of faith in American life. Congregational demise is troubling, but underreported. Data suggests that the fears of the secularization of America may be overwrought. Religious renewal could be on the horizon." Could be on the horizon. And further, he says in the article, "It's true that denominational-based churches, Methodist, Baptist, Episcopalian, Catholic, etc., have been on the downward slope for years. But non-denominational evangelical churches are growing in numbers from 54,000 in 1998 to 84,000 in 2012 and still growing, according to the Journal for the Scientific Study of Religion. Pew Research data show a similar trend continuing to be present, with steep declines among mainline churches as evangelical ones keep popping up." Statistical data, etc., etc. Here's a quote from the article. "Those with denominational affinity would be sad to see a certain kind of church fall away, But the success of the new models today shows significant growth of people looking for ways to live faithfully, albeit in a less structured way." Could this really signify a religious awakening? Question mark. And then it goes on to say, "A selection of churches may be dying, but their replacements are alive, well, regenerating in ways that American church has never seen before." It's a telling statement, ladies and gentlemen. They're being regenerated in ways that American church has never seen before. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one way of church growth, and that is by those becoming saved, being blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. You can't just have numbers, nickels, and noses and have a full house of people like Andy Stanley with some 34,000 in his congregation and millions watching by way of internet and television. And Andy Stanley says that when it comes to creation or evolution, we need to believe the scientists rather than the Bible. Andy Stanley says the Old Testament is not relevant. We need to come unhitched from it today. Andy Stanley says that the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant to the modern Christian, that we need to just discard them. Ladies and gentlemen, you have people like Pope Francis that says hell is not real. Pope Francis says if you are a homosexual, you're sodomite, as I use the term that's the only biblical term, that it is not sin because God created you that way. And I could go on and on and on with the different statements, and yet these places are filled. How is it so? That should be a telling sign to anybody listening today that there's something awry, there's something wrong in relationship to what's being preached and taught and the advocacy of those things that are antithetical to the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, most of these modern churches that's being talked about and touted in this particular article, most of these, and I call them, again, don't want to be redundant, but they're the pop-up churches, they're the entertainment centers. There's an attempt to, in some way, compete with the secular world for entertainment. Many of them have yoga classes. Yoga is nothing but Eastern mysticism being taught in a church. Exercise classes, bowling alleys in the churches, movie theaters in the churches, movies that's being shown as entertainment to get people there. In-house coffee shops. Babysitting for busy millennial parents, ski trips for the youth, sightseeing for the elderly, shopping sprees for the elderly. And I could go on and on and on. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to get you to understand is we have started introducing into what is called churches today, under the guise of ministry today, under the guise of trying to build greater congregations today, every form and every facet of worldliness to entertain and to get the crowds in, which, ladies and gentlemen, is antithetical to anything that's called biblical Christianity whatsoever. It simply is not biblical Christianity. Some churches today are asking the elderly to leave. Just a few weeks ago, I had an article, and I believe I touched on it on one of our broadcasts, where a church up in, I believe it's New Jersey, where they're going to retool, is their term, not mine, retool the approach for ministry. They have put everyone in the church on notice. If you're over 60 years of age, you need to leave. We do not want you in this church anymore. We're retooling. In fact, their plans are to close down, I believe, according to the article, to close the church in June, retool, redecorate, et cetera, open up again in October, and focus only on the millennials. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about that further in this broadcast because that's what many churches are doing today. There's the philosophy and the attitude in church growth that you need to focus on a certain group of people, a certain category of people, a certain socioeconomic group and strata. And it's in that age group, that socioeconomic group that you focus on. And the church then is not for everybody. It's simply for the modern millennials and their desire to be entertained. And that is what is taking place. Focus only on that younger age group. The new rock and roll church today, ladies and gentlemen, generally would have dark walls painted black in most cases, interiors with strobe lights, disco music, and provide earplugs, as I just discovered one church in this city, providing earplugs in the back of the pew for those that cannot tolerate the blast of the rock and roll music so that they can still stay in worship and not be participating in the music. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that philosophy and that approach. Jesus dealt with this, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus dealt with it frontally. Jesus dealt with it forcefully. Jesus dealt with it factually as you study the seven churches in the book of the Revelation. Jesus dealt with it forthrightly. In fact, on one of the churches I call the church at Sardis was the powerless church, and that powerless church was powerless because they had all of the movement, all of the motion, all of the activity as a live church, but Jesus said, you're dead. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll continue this dialogue and discussion right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.